Hello and welcome to another edition of the Post podcast. I'm Hugh O'Connell, the political correspondent, and I'm here today with our political editor, Michael Brennan. And we're going to talk about Brexit and the scale of the chaos in the Brexit talks and the scale of the division in the British cabinet was apparent today in Prime Minister's questions. Here's the Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn.
Mr. Speaker, we've had 23 months since the referendum. We have just 10 months to complete negotiations, and the government is in complete disarray. Yep. On both sides of the negotiations, the reality is dawning that deadlines are at risk of not being met. Yes. More and more jobs are at risk as more and more businesses openly consider the options of relocating their jobs elsewhere. The government is so busy negotiating with itself, it cannot negotiate with anybody else. Absolutely. Mr. Speaker, if the Prime Minister cannot negotiate a good deal for Britain, why doesn't she step aside and let Labour negotiate a comprehensive new customs union and living standards backed by trade unions and business in this country? Step aside and make way for those who will.
Michael, that was at PMQ's, Prime Minister's Questions, in the House of Commons today. Jeremy Corbyn in recent weeks seems to have zeroed in on the divisions which are now very apparent in Theresa May's cabinet over Brexit. It seems to be just getting messier and messier, and we're nearly 2 years since Brexit now, and it's no clearer as to what exactly sort of Brexit the British government wants.
That's right. It's a really worrying state of affairs at this point. I think Jeremy Corbyn, he doesn't always have his fans, but he put it quite well when he said that Theresa May couldn't, she was so busy negotiating with her own government, she couldn't negotiate with anybody else. And his populist appeal then to let him take over the Brexit negotiations, I'm not so sure, given the confusion in his own party, how well that might go. But it does demonstrate, as you've pointed out, we thought, you know, with all the plans, the talks and preparation, that by now, 5 months to go to the crucial October summit, when we need a decision on Brexit so the European Parliament can ratify it and the House of Commons and the House of Lords can agree it from their end, we thought we would have the outlines of a deal. Instead, you know, as you can hear in the House of Commons, there's utter chaos. There's division in the British cabinet, division in the political system. And we unfortunately look like we could be the victims again of decisions being made in Westminster. Our problem is not really Brussels. We have got them on side with our basic demands. But the problem is in London, where they cannot agree on what they want. And most of what some of them want is not what we want.
So, I mean, just to kind of give our listeners an outline, not to get too technical, but there are two options that appear to be on the table that the British government have sort of proposed, which they did in a document they published last August, I think it was, which was this idea of a customs partnership and this idea of maximum facilitation. Now, Theresa May is thought to favour a customs partnership, but that's anathema to some of the hard Brexiteers, so they're looking more at the maximum facilitation, which is anathema to the Irish government because that involves some sort of border infrastructure and such. So with divisions in cabinet, Theresa May came up with the bright idea recently to split her Brexit subcommittee into two separate subcommittees, one of them to look at the customs partnership, one of them to look at the maximum facilitation route. And that just really does, I think, get to the heart of the division. And then I heard on the radio this morning David Lidington, who's the Cabinet Office Minister. He's effectively Theresa May's number two, the Deputy Prime Minister. And he was talking about the British government needing a few more weeks to work through the various options and the technical details of the two options on the table. And then they'll come up with a white paper running to over 100 pages of their preferred option in terms of future arrangements with the European Union. I mean, that's bizarre, really, isn't it? That we are now still awaiting a white paper on what it is that the British government wants, and we are in we're in May 2018. As I say, we're nearly 2 years since the Brexit vote. We are less than a year away from Britain formally leaving the European Union, and we're no closer to knowing what it is that they want.
Absolutely. I could give you a metaphor maybe in the lines of somebody showing up on a date to try and bring somebody out. They turn up in one car, and let's call that car the customs partnership option. That's where Theresa May is effectively hoping that she can come up with some sort of special deal where you will keep the benefits of staying in the customs union, but also be allowed as Britain to negotiate your own trade deal. Now, that was rejected last year, but she's still sort of thinking around and hoping there could be some way of doing that. So that's the first car and the first offer of a date turned down. The second car we've seen them trot out before is this maximum facilitation, which is the idea of a technologically a whizzy solution where you have cameras, you have automatic number plate recognition on the border, and you can just drive back and over from north to south, and presumably from, you know, from across the Irish Sea through ferries and planes without the need for intrusive checks. The Michel Barnier, the EU chief negotiator, said that's not an option. Our government has said that's not an option. So it's really depressing to see them still effectively like someone on a date who's been turned down several times, just saying, ah, go on, please, please, you know, just rethink it again. You know, they're not. The EU and the Irish government have ruled those out. So we're left with this perhaps hope of a third option. And RT's Brexit expert, Tony Connolly, who's done a really good book on the subject, has suggested there may be another option of effectively continuing with the arrangements as they are for a while longer, and that that would buy Theresa May some time. Now, it may be a welcome development, but we haven't seen any detail on that yet. But it's another indication of they're almost at the 11th hour, and there's new ideas and old ideas being put out there.
Yeah, Tony Connolly reporting that this week, but looking at it, or the detail that he has reported, it does seem to be something that the Brexiteers, the hard Brexiteers, wouldn't be in favour of, in terms of it aligns Britain to the customs union in all but name for the next few years, and that's something that the likes of Jacob Rees-Mogg, the likes of Boris Johnson have utterly ruled out. So again, we're at a point where politically that's not, doesn't seem to be sellable for Theresa May. And we haven't got a huge amount of reaction to that thus far either. So I mean, it's not even clear whether it would be an actual practical solution to the question.
Yeah, and I think Tony has very fairly flagged up another problem. Effectively, he's talking about, you know, Theresa May using the special status that was negotiated for Northern Ireland, where they would stay aligned with the customs union, and that there would be no need for any border checks. He's talking that perhaps that could be extended across the whole of the UK. So you would instantly at least solve the DUP's problems, that it wasn't a special solution for the North alone. But as he notes as well, the problem is that still leaves the single market. The EU said, well, you may have a customs union, but if we're not allowing you to use this special deal for the North and transfer to the rest of Britain, and you get into the single market through the back door, they would also be insisting on the same freedoms of movement that is goes with the single market, the same free trade, and all the other four freedoms. So that is there are lots of problems even with that idea. But at least if it does come out in this British white paper we're promised now at this late stage in the game, at least maybe it would be something to talk about that is new.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the Irish government has been quite dismissive of the options that were produced last autumn. Perhaps they'd be more amenable to something like this. But one of the things that's come out as well in recent days, Michael, is Theresa May this week held meetings with various Conservative backbenchers, including the likes of Jacob Rees-Mogg, and there were leaks from these meetings to the effect that the hard Brexiteers seem to be saying that, you know, well, let's have a border poll potentially, because we're very confident that the UK will or that Northern Ireland will vote to remain in the union, and that will put an end to that question. Theresa May, though, on the other hand, seems to be questioning whether that actually would be the case. There is apparently some internal polling going around which shows that in the event of a hard Brexit, the majority of people in Northern Ireland would actually vote to align themselves with the Republic of Ireland, vote for reunification. And Sinn Féin, I see this week, have kind of used that as sort of a bargaining chip so much as that they've used that to talk again about their idea of having a border poll, which has certainly come more to the fore in the last 2 years because of Brexit. But I mean, to take up that point, I suppose. Do you think that we perhaps. Given the uncertainty that Brexit has created, that perhaps we are in a space now where we need to be talking realistically about a border poll in the near future?
I would say, I think realistically, if we want a peace north and south, we definitely don't want to be talking a border poll. It is just too volatile. It's the sort of thing that would inflame tensions, and all of a sudden you could go back 10, 20, 30 years very quickly. What it does show, I think, as a warning to the DUP is there are hardline elements in the Conservative Party that don't give a fig about the North. I spoke last week to Patricia King, the General Secretary of Irish Congress of Trade Unions. She's a very experienced negotiator. They're an all-Ireland body. Mm. And what she said was, look, there's an element in the Tory party. They just want out of the EU, out of everything, and they don't care about Northern Ireland and what happens to it. And that's why you hear effectively reckless calls from a party that is supposedly committed to the union.
They are called the Conservative Unionist Party,
For a border poll that at least if it is not lost by the unionist side, could be very close, very divisive, and kick off a sectarian conflict again. So they just really want to get the North out of the way. They don't care about it. They want it out of the way. They see it as an obstacle in breaking free from the EU. So in a way, they're saying, look, let's move aside. Let's get this thing out of the way. And it's just a warning to the DUP, be very careful who your friends are, because there are a lot of enemies in there in those Conservative Party ranks as well.
Yeah. And it seems as well the DUP, in what they're kind of reading between the lines of what they're saying, people like Nigel Dodds in recent weeks, that their only red line really is to make sure there isn't a border in the Irish Sea, isn't it? I mean, like, when it comes down to it, okay, they've argued for out of the customs union, out of the single market, but you know, Nigel Dodds, I think, has said very clearly, or intimated very, very, very clearly, or maybe not that clearly, but he's kind of indicated that the only red line really is avoiding any kind of split between mainland UK and Northern Ireland. So when it comes down to it, there could be some wiggle room there. But then, of course, obviously, keeping Northern Ireland in the customs union, or keeping the UK in the customs union, anathema to the Brexiteers. So it's almost like whack-a-mole. You solve one problem, and then another one crops up, because you might have satisfied the DUP, but you haven't satisfied Boris and Michael Gove and Jacob Rees-Mogg and all these people. I wouldn't like to be Theresa May.
No, it's very difficult. She is caught between two stools. I have sympathy for the DUP in that, their firm political philosophy is they want to maintain the union, and they rightly see that if you put a border right around Northern Ireland and across the Irish Sea, then you are in some ways sort of laying down a future United Ireland, even though our government will say that's not what we're doing. But they would certainly see it that way, and a lot of their own members and supporters. So the ideal scenario, as the government have said here many times, is where we have no borders across the Irish Sea, none north-south through Armagh and so on. Mm. But that is where Theresa May seems unable to get her hard Brexiteers to let up. You know, we need her to effectively crush them, but she seems in a very weak place. And the fact
saboteurs is a newspaper headline.
Yes, exactly. But the fact that it has gone so late in the day shows you how politically weak she is. And that, we were always going to have a confrontation, but the fact she has put it off and put it off and is still putting it off shows that, it is such a sensitive situation for her.
And there is still sort of fairly loose talk, I think, in the tea rooms in Westminster and elsewhere of this idea that, if Theresa May is going to face down the Brexiteers, they'll face her down and they'll force a leadership contest, or they'll force her out. So she's in an enviable position. How stands, do you think, finally on this, I suppose, the Irish government and its position on this? There has been some concern, I suppose, expressed by Fianna Fáil that we're welshing a little bit on this idea that we need sufficient progress in June, and maybe we'll allow it to go out to October in this kind of nightmare scenario that Bertie Ahern has painted of a midnight deal in October where Ireland's hand is forced. But are Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar holding the line pretty effectively thus far, do you think?
I think, Fianna Fáil have a legitimate point to make, and there's been cross-party support for what Bertie Ahern said, that if we leave our final deal until October, we could be in huge trouble. So let's put a big push on in the next EU summit in June. And effectively, from talking to people, what that means is the government has been signalling for quite some time now they will force a confrontation, that if there is no proper idea, plan on the table from Theresa May and her government, they will then say effectively, well, we cannot live with this, it's time for the negotiations to be suspended, and let's put the pressure back on Theresa May and her government. That would be a hugely serious step. It could even collapse her government. But the thinking is, if we don't make a stand soon, our time for making the stand is over. Mm. And I think Fianna Fáil have been raising criticisms of the government, saying you haven't told us how much you need from Theresa May, what significant progress she needs to make. And I think I heard the Taoiseach say yesterday, well, that's because I don't know. I don't know what she's going to say.
We don't know what the British want, right?
No, the government are loath to lay a little trap for themselves and say we want X when they don't know if that can even be delivered at this stage. But I will say one thing. the Taoiseach and Simon Coveney as Taoiseach and Foreign Affairs Minister have made such a big deal of the backstop, this guarantee that no matter what happens, there will be a legal guarantee in the withdrawal treaty that things will stay the same unless there's a better deal. That has been such a big political announcement for them, that if they don't manage to get that into the treaty or something better, then they're not only is the country in huge difficulty, but they're also in huge difficulty because they have sold this as their prime achievement and what their prime ambition is.
So no backstepping on the backstop then, though.
It's simply impossible to see that. I just cannot see how they could in survive as a government to accept something which is not, it does not match up to the backstop. They may be able to say, we're getting a new deal now from Theresa May, which does that and more. Well, then fine, but let's see it in writing. Let's have it written down. As Sean Kenny has said lately, you know, it's very important to get these deals in writing and in clear text, or it mightn't work out very well for you.
Okay, well, 6 weeks to go until the crucial June summit, and we await the white paper with bated breath. That's it for this edition of the Post podcast. Thanks very much for joining us, Michael Brennan. I'm Hugh O'Connell, and we'll talk to you again soon.